This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher and Amal Shah on VSIN, the Sports Betting Network.
Sharp Money, VSIN, the Sports Betting Network, as we welcome you in Wednesday, August 30th, as we start to turn the corner, September, right around the corner. We've got college football, of course, tomorrow. We should discuss the weather and, unfortunately, what's happening to Florida, the panhandle down there with the hurricane. They call it Hurricane Idalia, so we'll discuss in just a little bit, but we welcome you in. I'm Patrick Maher. Of course, Amal Shah, Dustin Sweetelson. We say hi to the boys. Hi, Amal. How are you?
Doing well, thank you. Hopefully everybody, as you mentioned, the panhandle is safe and looking forward to an exciting weekend of college football. And, you know, one thing yesterday we talked about, Patrick, and I know we're going to get into it, wind, a little bit more important than rain and everything else.
Absolutely, 100%. We'll kind of give you an idea what to expect, those games that could be affected. We've got plenty to do. Guy Haberman, we'll get to the big guy, Nick Bruner. DraftKings going to come into studio with the boys. Mike Somich moved to Wednesday. We'll move Scott Spritzer to Friday. We've got a ton. I've got a ton on wide receivers. Amal's got a couple of future plays he wants to talk about. The big guy always comes with something, and we say hi to Dustin Sweetelson. What's cracking?
I think I'm pregnant.
Okay, cool. What else is happening with you?
It would make a lot of sense, though, right? Like, if there was a baby in here, it would help me lose some weight, get it out of here, having hot flashes. I can't get comfortable today. Have you ever had that where, like, you're either too hot, you're too cold, you can't sit right, like, just jumpy? That's how I feel.
Are you having hot flashes and or cravings for pickles?
Well, I always have cravings for pickles. And like the wider range, like the super vinegary ones. I like the kind of more cucumbery ones. Really like those. Oh, they come in a clear bucket. They have them at Costco. Grillo's pickles. Really good. Really good.
Well, if you have any issues going to labor, let us know. We'll call you an Uber. 8 days away. 8 days, Dustin and Amal, from kickoff in Kansas City with the Detroit Lions. A lot of expectations for those two teams playing. We'll get to those numbers coming up in just a little bit. And I mentioned to start the show, the health and welfare of everybody, including the student athletes and coaches and everybody involved with the programs, more important than anything. However, we are a betting network, so we discuss the implications of Hurricane Idalia. I have a friend down in Tampa, sent me pictures today, absolutely flooded everywhere. Tallahassee was pummeled, so we should start there. Remember, LSU in Orlando taking on Florida State. So that's Sunday. Now, the assumption would be, Amal, everything's cleared up, everything's going to be cool, but we are dealing with human beings. We're dealing with 18, 19, 20, 21, 22-year-old kids that their practice scheduled. You know, the schedules of practice have been completely inversed and flipped. A lot of this going inside. But the coach is, of course, giving kids time to deal with personal issues. As I mentioned, Tallahassee got pummeled. So you start to think about the implications of those student athletes at Florida State.
Well, Florida State canceled and closed classes effective yesterday at noon Eastern time. So you figure the rest of the week's probably going to be shut down. Could have an impact in terms of their preparation for the game and travel to Orlando. Another thing, Patrick, I think that people may overlook is, even if there's not a direct impact, and let's hope there's not in Leon County or in the Tallahassee and surrounding areas, if you have family members that are in the Hillsborough, Pinellas County area, those are all things that play a factor that are on your mind. You know, having lived in Florida myself, these are things that you don't really realize until it makes landfall how detrimental and devastating it can be, and just the impact it has potentially on players and everybody on that staff in a variety of factors and ways.
Yeah, it's just something that's nebulous. You can't really measure it. And I mentioned that game coming up on Sunday, LSU 2.5, big guy, a total of 56.5. We do have news as far as running back and other news as far as the LSU program, which we should get to. But Amal said it well. It's nebulous. You can't really measure the implications that this is going to have, a hurricane, a natural disaster on somebody's psyche. But it's certainly something we need to think about with these Florida State kids.
And hopefully it doesn't. But there's also the potential impact of them going back to wherever they're going. And if maybe they stay wherever they played for a little bit extra, because it's just harder to get back there. We just don't know. We won't know until everything kind of shakes out.
John Emery, for the third consecutive year, this kid can't get on the field. LSU is going to begin the season without their talented running back and John Emery. Kelly didn't provide details as to why he's going to miss the opener against Florida State. It's a big deal. Now, He's expected to be near the top of the running back rotation for LSU. They do have Josh Williams. They do have Noah Cain. So they're absolutely loaded there. But we should mention LSU running back John Emery not going to start and not going to play against Florida State, Amal.
Yeah, you know, statistically, it may not necessarily enamor you, but I really like him a lot. I think he's probably their best tailback. You mentioned Noah Cain. I wasn't a big fan of his at Penn State. We'll see how effective he is. But I think Emery is a loss for this LSU team. Now, that doesn't mean they can't overcome it. You know, we just talked about the Florida State angle. They're dealing with some things themselves. But this is one that I think is going to be a little bit bigger of a loss maybe than some people feel about the LSU backfield.
Take on Emery, and you had other news as far as LSU is concerned, Dustin.
Well, Mason Smith, their defensive tackle, is not going to play. And Brian Kelly apparently tried everything in his power to try and get the suspension moved or the game moved. Like, he was trying to get Mason Smith on the field. So now you got a key piece on defense, a key piece on offense that's not going to play in the game yet. That line is holding firm and steady at -2.5 with LSU favored.
Well, Mason Smith is a guy that, remember, was the number one recruit coming out of high school football, a great lineman for them on the defensive side of the ball, real impactful. This is another blow for LSU. Look, I liked Florida State in this game to begin with, but guys, I think for both of these teams, they can stomach a loss early on because I think both of these teams are going to finish near the top 10 or better throughout the course of the season. But you'd like to have a full roster if you're LSU going into a tough matchup.
Okay, we should discuss Gainesville in Florida. Their travel plans, because of the hurricane, bumped up a day. So they left Tuesday night after practice, originally scheduled Napier and the Gators to leave on Wednesday, obviously headed to Utah. We should discuss this game because there is some dancing as far as the number. Looks like Rising is going to play quarterback at Utah. Yesterday, we sat here. It was 4.5, boys. DraftKings is sitting Utah back up to 6.5. Will the travel... Again, they got out in front of it by leaving on Tuesday night. Florida, you would assume the kids will be okay and ready, mentally prepared for this game. Well, let's go there. That number up to 6.5, Amal.
Yeah, this is going to be an interesting matchup. Look, I favor the Utes here. Revenge spot for them at home. The one concern is the quarterback situation. You also talked about earlier in the week, Brent Cuthi, whether he's going to be able to play the tight end and how effective he is for that team. But I just don't like this Florida team. Last year, you had a great athlete at quarterback in terms of Anthony Richardson. There's some question marks to me on this offensive side of the ball for Florida here. I think it's going to be a tough matchup. Rice cycles at about 3,300 feet in elevation. Could have a little bit of an impact. A much better home field advantage than people realize. Not as loud as some of the venues in the SEC, no question about that. But at the end of the day, I think a more complete, balanced, and well-coached football team when you look at what Whittingham has there in Salt Lake City.
The way they run their offense, not sure there's more of an important player than Cuthi outside of the quarterback at Utah, the tight end, because they just run the football and obviously use the tight end so prominently in their offense. So as you mentioned, the health of Cuthi, very important here. Dustin, Florida, Utah, you mentioned on the phone earlier today that number up to 6.5. You did bet it. You took with Florida at 7.
Well, now it's 4.5 with the thought that Rising is going to play. We don't have definitive word yet. We won't have until around kickoff from Whittingham. But I bet it the other day at 7. I wasn't going to let it get shorter. I really regret when this line opened in the summer. I liked Florida plus 9.5, and I didn't just bet it then because it's like I'm going to let that money just sit there all summer long. Now at 4.5, obviously I can't get in on it. 7 was about my cutoff point for Florida. It's not a great number, but I think that I learned a lesson in week 0, and that was betting on Ohio and Rourke and a player coming off an ACL and assuming the health. We do not know the limitations that Cam Rising has heading into week 1. Also, Brandon Rose, their big recruit, is probably out for this game. So that means if Rising has any issues, Bryson Barnes would end up taking over at quarterback. That it would be a concern for me if I was backing Utah. I think Utah will win. I think Utah has a ton more experience. They returned 14 starters. That O-line is awesome. But sometimes I think we think Florida's down. Those are still SEC defensive linemen they're going up against. And no offense to the Pac-12, but like those aren't dudes getting recruited by Wazoo.
Yeah, everything you said is a very fair and valid argument. There's one problem, though, when you look at the Florida Gators.
You're going to say Graham Mertz.
I am 100% going to say Graham Mertz. That guy should be playing in the Sun Belt.
How about this on Graham Mertz? Graham Mertz, the more he was coached at Wisconsin by Paul Chryst, got worse. When he showed up with limited coaching from Paul Chryst, he balled out his first game. As he went on and on in the program, he got worse and worse. I'm not saying he's going to light things up. I'm just saying Paul Chryst doesn't exactly have a track record for getting a lot out of quarterbacks.
Yeah, and my apologies, boys. Dustin, good job. Six yesterday, down to 5.5 at DraftKings, now down to 4.5. Now, everything from Cam Rising says he's good to go. The numbers suggest maybe there's some questions there, but good job by you correcting the number. It is 4.5 as we currently sit. Utah laying it, hosting Florida. So the questions about Rising continue. Okay, we do have another one. Central Florida tomorrow when talking rain. I texted a friend in Orlando or lives outside of Orlando, said just rain. Shouldn't be affected. The kids' power seems to be good in Orlando, where Central Florida is located. That game tomorrow night, Kent State. Of course, Central Florida, 35.5 with Gus Malzahn there.
Yeah, Plumlee, the quarterback, back under center for Malzahn. This should be an effective game for them. Harvey's done a nice job for them at the tailback position. They should be fine there. The question is, do you want to lay the points here? Big number. I know Adam said he had this thing, I think, around 30 or 31 in terms of the line himself when we had him on yesterday. But guys, not a game I'm interested in getting involved in. And to me, this is where sometimes if you don't necessarily bet a game before it starts, so many times there's an opportunity on the in play. Maybe the number comes down. Maybe Kent gets an early score and you get a number that's far better than the original number. So just something to consider if you like UCF. On the flip side, if you like Kent and if UCF gets an early score, now all of a sudden you could catch Patrick a number potentially over 40 or somewhere in that range, or at least 38.5 might be a little bit more beneficial.
Anything on that one, big guy?
No, I just had to Google who the Kent State head coach was now that that Lewis is gone. It is a guy by the name of Kenny Burns, and he spells Kenny K-E-N-N-I. He's 39 years old.
Flex on him, Kenny, with an I. Love to see it. Some surprising cuts in the NFL. We'll get to those coming up. Also, I came up with 8 overarching NFL questions and themes as we head into the season that I'm going to run by the boys. These are all a surprise. Going to be a surprise to Dustin and Amal and a surprise to you as well. So again, we keep an eye on the weather in Florida and send our thoughts to those dealing with it. And we continue on a Wednesday. It is Sharp Money.
This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher and Amal Shaw on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Okay, excited about this. The updated NFL betting guide is going to be released tomorrow. Make sure you check it out. Throughout the NFL preseason, the VSiN experts have been reevaluating every team to give you the betting edge. Our updated NFL betting guide will have picks from every on-air host, and it's a myriad picks. So you're going to get plenty, whether it be props, season win totals. It's all there. Team-specific preseason analysis. How to use VSiN's betting splits, very important for a long season, and football contest strategies. If you want the best and most comprehensive collection of picks, predictions, and previews, you can start for as low as $19 at VSiN.com/subscribe, or right now you can save 50% off the monthly price with an annual subscription and bet smarter all year long. Take advantage of the year. I would assure you that's the way to go. VSiN.com/subscribe. Okay, Amal Shaw, the big guy, Dustin Sweetelson, I'm Patrick Maher. Got plenty to do on a Wednesday as week one underway tomorrow. College football, a lot to do kind of surrounding the hurricane and everything that's happening. I will say, I mentioned we're 8 days away from kickoff. I've got 8 questions to throw at the boys as far as the NFL season's concerned. We'll get to that. Just a few notes as we enter today's NFL conversation. Jalen Reagor has been cut by the Vikings. So think about this. He was drafted a couple of years back, Reagor, the wide receiver, by the Eagles, one pick ahead of Justin Jefferson. He was then traded last year from the Eagles to the Vikings, and he was just now cut by the Vikings. That is a fall from grace. Justin Jefferson, by the way, boys, turned into a pretty good one ahead of Reagor. Excuse me, one pick behind Reagor. But any surprise, the two of you there, with Reagor getting cut?
Not surprised that he got cut. You know, coming out of TCU, he had great speed. I thought he might be a decent receiver. I didn't see the first round for him, but I didn't expect him to be out of the league in 3 seasons.
Big guy?
Just remember all the Viking staff laughing and celebrating when Reagor went. Remember that video that went viral like a little bit after? And
yeah, because they knew.
But I think there's something to be learned here, especially for people like me who think they can evaluate the draft from their couch. It's just because someone runs a fast 40 doesn't mean they're a good receiver. There are receivers faster than Justin Jefferson. He's better at route running. He is more precise. He's better at getting the ball. Like, Just because a guy is a speedster doesn't mean he can play in the NFL.
Is that statement directed towards scouts or fans or whom?
Myself, mostly, but like just people who think that, oh, he ran this 40, someone should draft him. I think we all overrate that stuff.
I want to see a guy running with a helmet on, at least shoulder pads, and even if they're going to put shorts on, fine, no problem. But because I've never seen a guy on the football field in a wife beater and shorts.
Dustin lecturing himself about the NFL draft is a new one, but I like it. I can't lie. I love the angle.
A little self-reflection, because I'll watch the combine and be like, he ran a 4.26, have to draft him. Spend a third-round pick on him. Why? I have no idea if he's a good receiver. There's so much more to being a receiver than just running fast.
Or you take him
those
in the top 10.
Those of you on the radio missed it. He actually held up a mirror during that rant and lectured himself. Two quarterbacks, that's what the Carolina Panthers are going to go forward with. Andy Dalton's going to back up Bryce Young, the rookie out of Bama. We were just talking Bama during the break, because Matt Corral, third rounder, 2 years past, just got cut today. Again, not necessarily a crazy surprise, but a little bit there, no?
Dalton gives you the experience of a backup. He's serviceable. I think he's still probably one of the top five backups in the league. But Matt Corral, I don't think he gave you the upside. And I think so many times people will confuse a great and productive college player with a player that can play at the NFL level. I just don't think Matt Corral had the arm strength and the accuracy to be a consistent NFL player.
As much as we think, because coaches talk about everything being equal, equal playing field, everybody gets a shot. As much as we think that the NFL and sports aren't a meritocracy, Nick Bosa said, hold my beer. Nick Bosa is going to be good to go for the Steelers. But again, because he's Nick Bosa, he just decided to sit out the spring. And he decided, I don't feel like dealing with training camp. And Kyle Shanahan, I'm a bigger deal than you on this team. So I'll show up for that Steelers game in week one, but that's about it. And Lynch and Shanahan were like, cool. And to get Shanahan to say cool about anything is a big deal, because he seems like a jerk. Let's be honest. Did you see the Garoppolo interview? I think it was Robin. We worked with him over at Mad Dog Lundberg. He did a conversation for SI with Garoppolo yesterday. And he asked him about kind of the musical chairs that goes on there in San Francisco at quarterback. And he just smiled and he's just like, dude, you have no clue. And I think that's what, again, I think that's what they deal with up in San Francisco. But Nick Bosa is going to be ready to go after holding out during camp, boys.
I'm not really that surprised. John Lynch is a Hall of Famer as a player, and I think he's a tremendous front office guy, minus the mistake on Trey Lance. But there's a bit of arrogance from whether it's Mike Shanahan or currently Kyle Shanahan in terms of guys they can plug and play at the quarterback position. You know, we talked about it a couple of weeks ago, Patrick, during a break one day. We were talking about, I think it was a Mike Anderson, who had 1,000 yards rushing for the Broncos in that zone blocking scheme. So basically this assertion is anybody they plug in is going to be successful. It doesn't matter who the quarterback is, as long as they don't make a mistake. They could be Trent Dilfer and you can win a Super Bowl, and they could be Brock Purdy and we're going to be able to win games and get to an NFC championship.
Big guy's favorite running back, Olandis Gary. Also, you can throw him in the mix.
So you know what, guys, that's the price you pay for dealing with a genius as your head coach. He is a genius. The guy made Matt Schaub relevant in the NFL when he was with Houston. Like, he can coach anyone up at either quarterback or running back position. He doesn't need to worry about that stuff.
Okay, here's where I'm going to start here, because I told you I have 8 questions for you two. You don't know the questions as far as the NFL and themes coming into it, as 8 days away from week one on Thursday night in Kansas City with the Lions in town. And I'll start with San Francisco. And my first question, the two of you, and this is unbeknownst, Brock Purdy will start a playoff game this year.
Yes.
So let's talk about it. Okay, just give me a second.
Sorry.
Jesus Christ. I mean, it's unbelievable.
Hold her hand first. Whisper something in her ear.
Time is short. Got to make moves.
Yes, absolutely. Will he start a playoff game? So 7 straight wins for Purdy, Mr. Irrelevant. We know the story, boys. Lance started the year last year. Jimmy came in. Jimmy fell out of favor. Jimmy was also hurt. Now I sound like a Seinfeld episode. Jimmy got hurt.
Jimmy!
The injury to Brock Purdy's throwing arm, I think there should be a little lingering concern, though Shanahan not overly concerned. Look, it's a script that he has to run, puppeteered by Shanahan. It's a loaded team. So now, Amal, we come to you. Will Brock Purdy start a playoff game? Now, the assumption is the 49ers make the postseason. They have Darnold kind of there at backup, but will Purdy stay healthy and start a playoff game?
Well, to answer your question, it's an affirmative for me because I've got this team getting to the Super Bowl. So I'm going to go with definitively yes.
Okay. Big guy, anything on that?
I think the 49ers will be there. I can't guarantee Brock Purdy will be there, aside from the injury concerns. And I'm not saying this is likely, but I'm saying there is definitely a chance that this happens. Brock Purdy was the last pick in the draft for a reason. He is a fine player. He is a scrappy player. He is a guy who has some skills and really good athleticism, honestly. And I think he fits a lot of what Shanahan wants to do. I also think he caught a lot of people by surprise a year ago. And the biggest factor in the NFL is once you put something on tape, can you repeat it the next year? These defensive coordinators are psychopaths.
Studied.
These guys like Vic Fangio, all they care about after getting their one shot as a head coach and it failing, they know who they are. They stay on that side of the ball, the Jim Schwartzes of the world. And they just, all they care about is watching film, finding weaknesses, and ways to exploit you. No one had time because it was on the fly last year when he was inserted. I think these defensive coordinators could have found something in the offseason that will slow him down. The benefit he has is he has a great defense, he has great weapons, and the reason I'm saying maybe is because I think maybe there's a chance Sam Darnold is the one starting that playoff game.
I object to your whole... just your whole argument. First of all, I want to start on the draft. The reason why he went in the seventh round of Mr. Irrelevant, because he's 6 feet tall. That's the reason. Patrick, you watched...
Where did Baker Mayfield go in the draft?
And by the way, how is Baker working out? All I'm saying is that, look, I'm not saying because Tom Brady turned out to be the greatest quarterback of all time, but Patrick, you saw him play at Michigan. How many times did he have to replace the Golden Boy to come in and save those Wolverines teams? You watch that tape of the Orange Bowl against Alabama. How that guy went in the sixth round is beyond me. I think so many times scouts are afraid to stand on an island and say, listen, this guy should be taken in the third or fourth round. And in terms of the rest of this team, he gets rid of the ball in 2 seconds. Listen, just get the ball to McCaffrey, Debo, Brandon Ayuk. Doesn't make a difference. We got playmakers everywhere. We know you're not going to win games for us by yourself. Just get rid of the damn ball.
Okay. I wrote down defenses will be prepared. So maybe I fall a little again, if you want to go upside. So you would say Purdy right now. And Amal, we mentioned it yesterday, 55 starts. I think it is for Sam Darnold at this point in his career. So you kind of know what you're getting, but maybe you'd point to a higher ceiling with Darnold. Shanahan knows it, but obviously he's very comfortable with Purdy.
No, you're absolutely right. There's definitely a higher ceiling with Sam Darnold, but the problem is the turnovers. When you look at his career, 55 interceptions and 55 starts, this team, if you can punt, there are situations where it's a win because they are good enough defensively. The offense has enough talent, and McCaffrey running the football. We saw, 11 games last year in San Francisco, how effective he was. This team is extremely dangerous. Purdy just doesn't need to make any mistakes. If he can avoid doing that, I think the sky's the limit for this team.
Okay, 10.5, big juice on the over for the 49ers. Will Brock Purdy start a playoff game? I'm saying no. I'm all saying yes. Big guy, what'd you say?
Maybe.
49ers will be there. That's what we got. I got 7 more to go. When we return, Guy Haberman, Pac-12 network announcer, joins us.
This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher and Amal Shaw on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Okay, check out the splits over at vsin.com. See where the money's going, not just for today, but future events as well. Of course, updated every 10 minutes straight from DraftKings. Money and bets for every game. The VSiN betting splits, very popular. vsin.com. Make sure you check them out. Amal Shaw, Dustin Sweetelson. I'm Patrick Maher. This is Sharp Money. It's VSiN, the sports betting network. Guy Haberman does a great job. He's a busy man. Pac-12 network announcer. You can find him on Twitter at Guy Haberman. Also hosts Pac-12 this morning, 7 to 10 a.m. Pacific time on SiriusXM's Pac-12 radio. And the podcast, Haberman and Middlecoff. We just had Mr. Middlecoff on last week, and now Mr. Haberman. Hi, Guy. How are you?
What's up, guys? Good to talk to you.
Nice to talk to you. Let me ask the question I just asked the boys. Will Brock Purdy start a playoff game this year? The assumption is the 49ers are going to the postseason. Will Brock make it?
I will say yes. He will start a playoff game this year. But, you know, I mean, it's at this point with the 49ers, they're the only team that, you know, could not carry a third quarterback on their 53 to get people's attention. They have what was a long storied history of winning has turned into a long storied history of hurt quarterbacks, and you know, at this point, you'd have to look at them and say, with any quarterback, it's a coin flip that guy starts 17 games and then gets to the postseason. And that's how I feel about Brock. I mean, it's a coin flip just based on the way their seasons have gone here recently and the fact that he's coming off an injury.
Guy, just a quick follow-up on the Niners. We were discussing this. Did we see enough of Trey Lance to make a true assessment of him?
Depends who you ask. I mean, you know, I think one of the kind of ironies of Trey and Sam Darnold is everybody has an opinion on Sam Darnold because we saw him start 55 games, and it's really hard to have an opinion on Trey Lance because we barely saw him play at all. Kyle Shanahan has nothing but a blank slate for Sam Darnold because he hasn't coached him. But he has a lot of opinions about Trey Lance because he's coached him for 2 years. So the point is that the Lance evaluation has to go beyond the game. It has to. That's the only explanation for why he's not on this team anymore, is that the evaluation goes beyond the game to practice, which is fair. You know, I've never watched Sam Darnold practice before this year, and I can tell you as I watch the practices go out, all the OTAs and almost every training camp practice, when training camp started, there were days that he was good. There were days that Trey was better. I've had a difference of opinion with people about this, but to me, and I graded every throw in practice. I don't know anybody else that graded every throw in practice. You might say it's insane. It is, but I did it. Darnold was the better practice player by the end of training camp. Doesn't mean he's better. I mean, football's played in the games, and everybody says, well, you know, let's wait for Darnold to play the games, which is fair. I'm not saying Darnold's going to be good. But I do think that you've got to acknowledge that their evaluation of Trey had to go beyond the limited amount of games that he played.
Guy, I mentioned the 49ers, their 10.5 regular season win total. I'll start there. Do they go over? And then I'd like your analysis of Kyle Shanahan. What's he like with the media up there? What's the perception of Shanahan? I want Guy Haberman's take on Shanahan.
I do have the over, partly because of, you know, the status of their division in the NFC. They've played well against the Rams, as you know, historically. We'll see. I tend to think McVay will find a way to be competitive, although I know a lot of people are writing them off because of the extreme youth on their roster, as illustrated by Mrs. Stafford's comments this week. The Cardinals are bad. And the Seahawks are not bad, but the Niners have played Geno well. So I think based on their division and based on the NFC, although they do go to Philly, they play Dallas, they do play the Vikings on the road. I've got them over 10.5 wins. You know, I think Kyle, it depends. It kind of depends on what question you're asking him in that moment. I think he's proven to be a guy that his players believe can put them in the best situations to succeed. I also think that he can definitely be a little prickly. But, you know, that's, you think back to Kyle as an offensive coordinator, remember one of the big concerns about him before he got a head coaching job was, will he be able to get along with anybody? And when he and John Lynch interviewed for the job, one of their big priority was, we don't want anything to leak. If anything leaks, Jed York, we're not coming. And so if there are any interpersonal issues between him and his organization, we don't hear about it. They've done a good job of keeping whatever issues could come up, and issues do come up over 5, 6, 7 years in-house. So I think he's one of the best coaches in the league. I know that, like every coach, but particularly with him, he's got some flaws. And one is he has not developed a quarterback. And that is as big an issue as you could possibly have if you're an offensive coach. But he also is behind Andy Reid and Josh McDaniels. Nobody has called more plays for consecutive seasons in the NFL than him. So, you know, his level of expertise at what he does is very high. He has to evolve. I think some people think in maybe some of the ways he manages a game in terms of when he decides to push the envelope and when he doesn't. I think a lot of it, like end-of-half situations, have been dependent on quarterbacks that he doesn't think can push the ball down the field. And that was clearly what he thought about Jimmy, because he didn't let him try and do it. He actually let Brock do it a little bit last year. So I think that part of him is still evolving, but, you know, I think if 32 teams had openings for head coach, he'd have to be a top 5 pick.
Let's switch gears a little bit to the Pac-12. You cover the league. Right now, rank out who you think are the top three teams as we head into the regular season for everyone else, including USC, having played a game.
Yeah, I mean, there was just a report about an hour ago, maybe less, that it's not confirmed that Cam Rising, who is Utah's star quarterback, won't play tomorrow night when they open their season at home against Florida. He's coming off a surgery after a Rose Bowl injury last year, and it's been very close as to whether he would play or not. His backup quarterback got hurt in practice 2 weeks ago. He's out, so they're down to probably their third and maybe their fourth quarterback. They may play both of them. But a lot of that answer is dependent on Cam Rising being healthy. I think USC's got to be in the top three. They're still working through. I don't know that they'll be much better on defense, but you know, they were 124th in yards per play defensively last year and still were on the precipice of the college football playoff because they have the best player in college football, a quarterback. So I think they've got to be there. I'm going to put Utah there anyway, despite the fact that their quarterback has been, that we're waiting on him. But I do think he'll be back eventually, and even though it could affect their CFP hopes, they play Florida Thursday. Then they go to Baylor next week. So if they want to be a college football playoff team, they got to at least have him back by next week, probably. But in terms of when this season gets rolling, who are the top three contenders for the league championship? They got to be there because he'll be back eventually. And then it's between, in all likelihood, Washington and Oregon. And I've got to go with Washington right now. They've got, like Oregon does, a Heisman candidate quarterback, better receivers, though. I don't know if they'll be as good on defense. That was kind of their whole last year. But it's kind of a 3A and 3B. Between Washington and Oregon.
Guy Haberman, hey, great job. We were just talking about this to start the show. It looks like, and great job breaking the news, we're now just getting it. It looks like Cam Rising expected to be ruled out for tomorrow's game against Florida. Bryson Barnes is expected to start in his place. So we'll have the ramifications as far as the market when we're done talking to Guy. But great job, Guy Haberman, breaking the news. Oregon State. Big surprise last year. You know, to be honest, it's fascinating the Pac-12 is going away, Guy, because this is what we've been waiting for. This is as deep as it's been in a long time. You cover the league.
Guy, are you there? I think we lost.
All right. Yeah. Well, maybe I didn't ask. I didn't ask a question. I was just getting a roundabout. Let's go straight to, and Guy broke the news for us, Guy Haberman, Pac-12 network announcer, just discussed it, and that is Cam Rising is not expected to play against Florida. So we're just getting it in right now. Big Guy, I saw your face light up when Guy said it. You went straight to Twitter, and it looks like it's now being corroborated on Twitter. I'm going straight to the number, and yeah, everybody's lighting up, down officially to 4.5 across the board.
Yeah, it's still 4.5. That's where we're at right now.
Okay, so it looks like the steam that we discussed, 6 yesterday, down to 5.5 yesterday, down to 4.5 today, was correct with information about Rising. We were just waiting because the last quote I saw from Rising, he was good to go. So we're now finding out that it looks like Cam Rising is definitely not good to go and will not be starting. Okay. Any reaction there as far as Rising being out? And, of course, the backup out as well for Utah, Amal.
Yeah, remember, Bryson Barnes has played in a couple of games. Last year, he played against Washington State, 17 for 27 in that performance in the middle of the season, then played in the Rose Bowl against Penn State, goes 10 for 19 in that game. And I'll tell you right now, Patrick, from my perspective, a much more difficult defense than the Nittany Lions. You had two corners in Caleb Kingle going probably in the first round this year. Joey Porter goes in the second round last year. Just a much more elite defense than he's going to face against Florida. Home game, not thrown into the fire of a Rose Bowl right in the middle of it. There was some expectation and preparation for Whittingham's team that he could potentially play if Rising wasn't ready. So I think all those things bode well for Utah as they get ready for the game Thursday night.
Again, great job, Guy Haberman, the Pac-12 network announcer with the news. And it's now widely circulated that is Cam Rising expected to be ruled out for tomorrow's game against Florida. You heard it here first on Sharp Money.
This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher and Amal Shah on VSIN, the sports betting network.
NFL season right around the corner. Nonstop football action is in sight, and you can get in on the action with DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Right now, new customers can bet just $5 and score $200 in bonus bets instantly. Life's more fun when you're in on the action. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app before kickoff. Use the code SHARP to get $200 in bonus bets instantly when you bet just $5 on any NFL bet, only on DraftKings Sportsbook with the code SHARP. The crown is yours. Bonus bets expire 7 days after issuance. Eligibility and deposit restrictions apply. Okay, we're back. Taking a look at the number, Amal Shaw, Dustin Sweetelson, I'm Patrick Maher. I haven't seen anybody go to four, but Florida, Utah is 4.5. Guy Haberman just joined and broke the news. Cam Rising is out for the Utes. So is his backup, Brandon Rose, the big-time recruit. So that means Bryson Barnes attempted 57 passes, played in a bunch of games last year. However, big guy, the stats with Rising are super efficient. They're going to miss the production from the senior.
Yeah, with Rising last year, Utah was 7th in yards per game, 11th in scoring offense, and here's a big one, 8th in the nation in third down conversion rate.
It's a revenge spot, Amal Shaw, for Utah, a thriller in Gainesville last year, a loss. Expectations were sky high for the Utes last year, and they're sky high again this year. It's a better Pac-12. Rising out. We talked about it on this show. Like, I was like, I have no clue. He popped it. He popped the ACL, and maybe it was, I always get confused with the ACLs, but he popped it in January, right? And I was like, is he going to be ready for week one? And if he is, he's going to be hobbled. Well, the answer is Cam Rising will not be ready for tomorrow.
You're absolutely right about that. You know, tough loss for them. They end up and with a 10-4 record, losing in the Rose Bowl as well. But this is a team that had a good season. They win the Pac-12 title. I really could have and should have probably won that game against Florida. Some missed opportunities in that one. But you guys are correct. It's going to impact this offense a little bit for sure. We see the total probably around 44.5 right now. If you can get a 45, pretty good number if you're looking at the under in that one. But if you like the over, 44.5, an intriguing number as well. So just something to pay attention to. I think we'll see the Washington State game. They only scored 21 points in that matchup. So that was a game that Barnes played in. And to me, that could have a little bit of an impact in terms of where this offense goes. But on the flip side, guys, I think Utah's defense is good enough to be able to kind of contain what Florida's going to do. And then you play a little bit more of a conservative game if you're Kyle Whittingham and company.
Of course, you're not getting the best of it if you're betting Florida. I'll give the big guy credit, although not the best of it. He did play Florida at 7. Back in June, you could have got Florida at 9.5. So obviously the best of it there. If you knew in advance that Rising wouldn't be playing, that 9.5 is juicy. We've now dropped down to 4.5. But big guy, you got Florida at 7, which is tremendous here.
Yeah, so a couple interesting notes in researching this game. So the only two times these programs have met were last year in 1977. Both were in Gainesville. This will be the first time they meet in Utah. Utah last year was a 2.5-point favorite on the road. I didn't realize the dominance at home was the way it was for the Utes. They haven't lost at home since 2020, and they haven't lost a non-conference home game since 2007 to Air Force.
It's not bad.
I'm telling you, people don't realize. We talk about Lincoln Riley. I know you guys both like Kalen DeBoer a lot, and I think he's a very good coach. I just kind of want to see a longer track record. But Kyle Whittingham took over for an undefeated Urban Meyer team when they went to the Fiesta Bowl with Alex Smith, who was the first pick in the draft. They have not skipped a beat if you look at the success that they've had. Back-to-back Pac-12 titles. Caleb Williams, the Heisman Trophy winner, guys, last year, we saw how good he was. Second half, we saw the adjustments that Utah made against the Trojans. Different ball game, and they ran right over the Trojans in that game. And I think it's a similar situation here. They are a team that sticks to what they want to do, which is dominate both lines of scrimmage. And if they can do that, I think they've got a great shot to win this in cover on Thursday night. If not, then I think they could be in serious trouble and lose the game outright.
Okay, Samich is going to join us later in the show. I know he has a play as well on Florida, Utah. We'll get to that. Now we'll transition back to my 8 days of NFL. I've got 8 questions today. I think the three of us would agree the NFC is weak this year. Okay. Regardless, if you think it's top heavy, it's weak. Your fourth betting favorite to represent the NFC is the Detroit Lions. Okay. That would denote weakness. I'm sorry. Let me ask you both a question. Yes, no. The Eagles represent the NFC in the Super Bowl. Before you answer, let me just say this. Usually the team that loses the Super Bowl obviously misses out because of a hangover. Eight teams in NFL history have made it back to the Super Bowl after losing the previous year. Three teams in NFL history have won the Super Bowl after missing out the previous year. It's an uphill climb. However, take a look at the market. DraftKings right now, 11.5 on the season win total for the Eagles. Now, I will say this, just to give you an idea, they're plus 250 in conference. That is your favorite. If you look at the second betting favorite to represent the NFC, it's plus 380, the 49ers, aforementioned. 6-1, the Cowboys, and then your fourth betting favorite, the Lions, at 11-1. While the expectations, Dustin, them all sky high for the Eagles this year coming off the Super Bowl loss, we don't expect them not to be hungry, and Jalen Hurts is a wonderful character guy as well as a player. They did lose an offensive coordinator. They did lose their defensive coordinator. So some gaps to fill there. Amal Shaw, will the Eagles represent the NFC in the Super Bowl?
Well, I have to say no. Otherwise, I'm contradicting myself from about 15 minutes ago because I said San Francisco is going to get to the Super Bowl. So I will go with no, but I think they are back or close to the NFC championship game. And if injuries occur with the Niners, then I think they've got a shot. But I'm going to say no here.
Dustin, history is against the Eagles. What say you?
Well, and also even more so because I think two of those eight teams that made it back to the Super Bowl were the Buffalo Bills, who just kept losing in them. So it's really, I think when you look at the Eagles, the talent is there, but we've learned a long time ago, the talent is kind of, it doesn't automatically define your outcome in the NFL. And just because you're the best team or the best team on paper, they still have to replace two coordinators. Nick Sirianni is kind of a donk. A lot went right for them with the schedule last year. Also, a lot went right for them health-wise last year. Like, Lane Johnson was their only key injury. Everyone else was available. I think the Cowboys are going to be better. Obviously, the Niners aren't going anywhere. It's a weak conference, but I have to say no.
Okay. Well done. Vrabel magic, question mark. Three postseason appearances in five seasons for Mike Vrabel with the Titans. AFC champ in 2019, number one seed in 2021, one win shy last year of winning the South. Take a look at the market. Big time favorites in the AFC South are the Jags, who won the South last year, minus 155. The Titans, 3.5-1, plus 350. Tannehill, Derrick Henry, 29. Generally, the decline comes fast and hard for running backs. Tannehill, there are questions around him. Obviously, they drafted Malik Willis and then drafted Will Levis. The offense last year ranked 28th in scoring and 30th in yards. I'm saying it's not great. However, Mike Vrabel, anytime you see somebody previewing the Tennessee Titans, they start with what? You love Mike Vrabel as a coach. Do you love him enough to get back to the postseason, win their division at plus 350? Vrabel magic? Mr. Shaw.
No, just not enough talent to go around there. I think there's some question marks on the offensive side of the ball. You mentioned Tannehill, inconsistent throughout his career. Never been a big fan of his. And, you know, you got to give Vrabel a ton of credit what he's been able to accomplish because I don't think his roster's even come close to stacking up to what you look at the rest of the AFC. When you look at the 16 teams in that conference, in my opinion, they are somewhere between 11 and 16 in terms of talent. And not that low at 16, but they're at the bottom of that, when you look at, for me, bottom 38%.
Okay. I have Vrabel magic question mark for you, big guy.
Yeah, you know, I am a Vrabel guy. I think most people are. I think the biggest thing for his teams is he finds a way to come up with a scheme, but also execute it properly in these games to do just enough to win, right? His teams are always finding whatever the key thing they have to do in that individual game is, they win. Like, their identity is kind of, it varies over the years. Obviously, they have the run game, but this is the least amount of weapons through the air they've ever had in his tenure, and I'm including the fact that they brought in DeAndre Hopkins because I don't know what is left. I don't know what kind of receiver he is. I'm sure he's still got something in the tank, but he's not that dude who's going to just be catching 60-yard bombs down the field, and I'm not sure Ryan Tannehill can get him the ball there anymore. My biggest concern with this team is the schedule. I think there's a very possible chance that they start 1-5. And if they start 1-5, their bye week is the seventh week of the season. Off the bye, they have Atlanta and three straight road games at Pittsburgh, at Tampa, at Jacksonville, and then they have Carolina at home. There is a chance if they start 1-5 and the writing's on the wall, they shop Derrick Henry and they see what they have with the quarterback they drafted in Will Levis coming off that bye in week 7. So I am not buying the magic this year. If he does it, he is automatically coach of the year if he somehow makes the playoffs.
I don't disagree. They're not far removed from a team that was looking like a lock to win the AFC South midway through last season, but injury luck killed him. So injuries, they've got a great defensive front. If they get healthy and lucky with the injuries, Derrick Henry's still that dude at 29. It's kind of like a tennis player, a running back, 28, 29, start to hit the wall quickly. He's a freak. Tannehill, will he be motivated? D-Hop, you mentioned it. We continue. Sharp Money.